Get to the good word and have Alice come pray for me.
God, I pray for Pastor Ron. I pray that you would give him the words to speak, and I pray that everyone would be able to take something from this message and apply it to their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Why not go full, all in?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. That's the most important thing, is that prayer. I just ride the waves of people's prayer. I've been praying quite a bit for this message. Yesterday, put a lot of prayer time in. I'm very concerned and believing for breakthroughs. Who could use a breakthrough? Just even might even thought that thought recently, or I just need to break through whatever is going on. I mean, in this world, there's a lot of struggles, a lot of afflictions, and Christians aren't exempt from that. We, you know, you, if you know your New Testament, it's pretty elementary. Of course, you got James, these trials, count it all joy when you have these various trials, knowing that, you know, it's a process that profits ultimately. The Apostle Paul in Acts 14 encouraged the saints. It all sounds kind of strange together. He encouraged the saints, saying, "We must through much hardship enter the kingdom of God." And so there's a lot of Jesus himself. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. And he himself, who suffered and struggled, bore with a lot of resistance and bore burdens. We also, as his disciples, are going to do that. And so how can we break through when we're hard-pressed, when we feel like we're overloaded? There's just tension. You're weighed down, beleaguered, depressed, oppressed, whatever, in chronic pain, worried. How can we break through? Well, today, it's a rather simple message, and often the things of God are simple in that they can be easily understood, not always simple in terms of like practicing those things. And there is such a thing as complicating the obvious, and the world is a very complicated place because humanism, wisdom aside from God, since it's not pure, is complicated and complex. But the things of God, there's a simplicity. And so let me just be very simple up front for the breakthrough, that when we do God's will, the breakthrough is imminent. Whenever we just hear God's voice and don't harden our hearts and do what he has clearly told us to do, then there is a breakthrough that will occur. And so at times we wonder perhaps what is the will of God, and we should be praying often enough concerning the will of God, understanding the will of God, doing his will. But there's a verse here right up front which has an element of simplicity and clearly describes God's will. So if you want to know what God's will is for you so that you can break through, here we go. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is, what does it say there? The will of God. What's the will of God for my life? Well, this, I am talking to him continually, and so it's a relationship is there. We have a relationship. I don't have a form of godliness without the power. I have that relationship. That's a prayer without ceasing. It's not like endless praying, because that's impossible. You know, you do sleep, but praying daily, conversing, walking with, talking with, and then the giving thanks part, the praise part, the first fruits, offering to God the first fruits. You know, Caleb talked about the first fruits last Wednesday, the spiritual principle of, in terms of resources. Well, there's also such a thing as soulish resources and offering God the first fruits, which is thanksgiving. When we pray the prayer that Jesus gave us, we immediately have that first practice, if you will. Heavenly Father, hallowed, honored, praise and glory. Instantly, that's the first thing in that prayer. I mean, you're working a ways through the prayer just to get to the sin part. First things first, come to God, offer him praise. This is the will of God. Pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all things. Now, it doesn't say giving thanks for all circumstances. It's not the preposition for, it's the preposition in. And so this is not necessarily trying to convince yourself that a bad thing's not a bad thing, that this pain is somehow inherently good, or this trauma, or this rejection, financial difficulties that, oh yeah, I'm thanking God for that. Now, there might come a point in the future where you can thank him for that, like David did in the Psalms, where he said, it was good that I was afflicted. But David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, had learned something about giving thanks in or praising God through circumstances. That's what made him, in part, a man after God's own heart. And obviously the Psalms. A lot of animosity, a lot of resistance and struggle, and then a whole lot of praise and thanksgiving, encouraging himself. I mean, David's lowest point, in my opinion, was when he came back to the camp. He was already on the run from Saul, and he comes back to his camp with his small little band, and all of their wives and their children have been kidnapped, and they spoke of stoning him. And so what does the Bible say? That David encouraged himself in the Lord. Certainly his encouragement is not going to be, you know, I'm great and I'm this and that. It's all about you. You're great. And just working through that, giving thanks to God and praising him despite what he finds himself in. And so simply put once again up front here, if you're needing a breakthrough, if you got this oppressive force, like just something that's hovering over you, and it's dark and just weighty, the breakthrough comes by doing God's will, and then one precise, for lack of a better word, strategy or aspect of that is the breakthrough is in reference to thanksgiving and praise. That's what the message is going to be about today. So let's first of all look at praise in terms of duty, the propriety of praise. God deserves to be praised, and in some respects we could say there's a demand, a requirement, an obligation to praise him. Now we always want to be careful because we don't want to draw a wrong conclusion that God needs praise. Because if you ever put the word need next to God, he's no longer God. He is sufficient. He is I am. God, in his great character, created beings, and for one reason, to give him praise, to bask in his glory, to be thankful, to laud him, to speak of his greatness. And of course, the first beings that we know of, that he created were angels. And angels continue to praise and worship him. We have that throughout the good word. And of course, we come to the praise hymnal of the New Testament, which is, by the way, what book would you say is the praise hymnal of the New Testament? Of the New Testament. It's the last book of the Bible. Revelation. You get to Revelation and you get these the praise in the heavenlies, constantly giving up praise to God. That's what is continually going on. The angels, the four beasts, they're constantly praising God because it's proper and it's right. And so in a healthy environment, in an environment that's not warped by the fall, where there is connection with God, there's just that ongoing, you are good. You are great. You are awesome. You are wonderful. And on. It just never gets old. And then we also see with Jesus, of course, who is God, in Hebrews 1:6. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. So just as things are done in heaven, now they're done in this way on the earth. There is an obligation. There has to be praise. And so, you know, think about Christmas. You know, when Jesus is born into the world, you got the angels there. And they're immediately praising glory to God in the highest and on earth. There's this praise between the heavenlies and the earthlies. And then very interesting, a verse which might seem a little strange and obscure. But I don't have them in the notes, but I added these. And so I'm going to come down so I can read it there. John 1:51. Jesus, right at the beginning of his ministry, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Well, why are they ascending and descending on the Son of Man? Well, certainly because there has to be praise. Just as they praised Jesus when he was in the heavenlies, now he's in the earthly realm. And this is going to continue. This is a whole new thing that's going on in the earthly realm. Now, this actually harkens back, and some of you already are thinking this, to the book of Genesis. And so the next verse that also is not in your notes, Genesis 28:12, this is what is known as Jacob's ladder. And Jacob dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder. Can you say ladder? That's going to be important later on. There was a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Now, what's this all about? Well, ultimately, one of the sons of Jacob would be Jesus himself, because Jesus comes, you know, through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, through David, and so he was getting a prophetic glimpse of what was going to be happening with the Messiah, with Jesus, that there's going to be this element of praise. And of course, not only praise, the angels also ministered to him, but you know, certainly part of that ministry is giving Jesus his due. And so up front here, there absolutely is an obligation for those that are connected to God, the angels in reference to Jesus, and then those that come into contact with Jesus, that come to know him, praise must be forthcoming. Peter says it like this in his epistle. He says that we have been called out of darkness and into light to show forth the excellencies of God, to speak and to give him praise. Praise is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't feel like I'm gifted in that. Praise is the obligation of those that have come to know God personally, and they can't help but to do so. In fact, you kind of have a preview of that, or I guess a roundabout description of that in Luke chapter 19, verses 37 through 40. As Jesus was drawing near, now this is the messianic entrance, as it's called, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and, what does it say here? Praise. Praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. So they're seeing God in the flesh, Jesus, and his disciples, they're praising. Praising God, of course, in heaven, praising God on the earth, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest, just like the angels proclaimed at the birth of Jesus. Verse 39, and some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. It's like even in creation itself, there is an obligation, a duty, the lesser to the greater, that there must be praise to Jesus. And Luke 17:11 through 18 gives us yet another description of this propriety, this obligation, this first way of considering praise. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance, and lifting up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks, praising God, giving Jesus thanks. You know, Jesus is God. And he never, by the way, refused praise and worship because he's God. Going on, now he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Now, what I saw in this what I believe the Spirit was speaking to me was this is almost like a metaphor for us. We, before we came to Jesus, were unclean. We had the spiritual issue of leprosy. And this, of course, you know, leprosy is brought up in the law, and, you know, a leper is to be avoided. A leper certainly can't have a connection to the things of God, to the tabernacle of old. And there had to be a ritual cleansing, and only a priest could pronounce whether that leper was clean or unclean. Well, we're like lepers in our unsaved condition. And we come to Jesus, and he, both the sacrifice and the great high priest, is enabled to call us clean. And what God has clean, let no man, you know, call common. And so our responsibility then from such a great cleansing is to praise God. And of course, when you get saved, you know, one of the aspects of your salvation is you can't help but to praise God. And perhaps you could think back to how grateful you were and how wonderful it was. But unfortunately, in time, some of that can wear off. And there can even be like a correction that is needed. Like here's this Samaritan. He comes back and he's praising, but where's the other 9? And I wonder if that question can also be asked of us from time to time, that we who have known such a great salvation and have been cleansed and have been brought, ushered into the family, you know, what great manner of love is it that we can be called the children of God, not just a bunch of slaves that, you know, better behave and work hard and there's going to be a judgment, but children of can say, Abba, Father, and yet there can come an unthankfulness and a failure to render to God that which is his due. And we can look back at this and say, yeah, you know, what happened to those 9? They should have also came back. But what about us? Have we come to a point in our lives where we're not rendering to God that obligatory, you know, let alone a passionate praise to him? And so praise here we see is just, and there's other things that could be said, but praise is due to God. Give God his due. Praise is God's due. And just like, again, giving him first fruits, when we give God his due, there's a benefit that comes back to us. And so now, not only is there the responsibility to praise God, but then there's the, well, what's in it for me? And one could say, well, that's selfish, and one shouldn't think that way. But, you know, that's just the way of God. When we do things his way, it works out to our benefit. Like the first fruits, Proverbs chapter 3. When one brings God the first of their resources, and they bring it in a faithful way, then God, you know, what does he do? He enriches them. A multiplier effect happens. And they get blessed. Well, it's the same with praise. When we praise God, there is power that is released that then gives us the breakthrough. So the obligation of praise, now I want to shift here to the power of praise. And I carefully say this, thinking of praise as like a strategy. And so I want to give us some thoughts in terms of how to strategically use praise so that there can be a breakthrough. And so let's got a little PowerPoint here. Praise strategy. You know, think about the word praise itself. The last five letters is raise. It's like to get you above that which might be bogging you down. This is how essential praise is. And so this is one way. Who likes acrostics, by the way? You know, I like them. The rest of you bear with me. But let's think about the praise strategy. P is pause. Now, when we have a struggle, when something is overwhelming us, we've been dealing with chronic pain, you know, this back issue, or you have a strained relationship, one of your children is just, you know, kind of, is a burden to you. You know, this has been personal for me lately, not you two, by the way, my sons are here, but just, I don't want them thinking the whole service, like, but, you know, and you have these issues, the first thing we can often do is not the best thing. You know, there's a quote I gave years ago, the first thing is often the worst thing, you know, the way of the natural. And so we have an issue, and so maybe we go to a coping mechanism. Maybe we just allow depression to rule, and now I'm just not going to get out of bed, and I'm going to isolate. Or, you know, we seek after comfort food, or just immediately go do a bunch of research, and, you know, Google help me out, and YouTube help me out, you know, not necessarily bad things, or things that are inherently bad that we might go to when we're dealing with something, and it's like, man, I need something else. I need to break through this in some way. Well, the first thing is to pause and don't do the first thing that the flesh or the way of humanism. Instead, rise above it. Pause, rise above it, and then S is sacrifice. I'm going to do a sacrifice instead of doing something that is just a coping mechanism at best, or even worse, sinning. You know, getting angry, or giving myself to lust, giving myself to materialism, things that, you know, just I'm trying to get a breath of fresh air and some dopamine fix and some deliverance from this. Well, instead of that, I'm going to pause, rise above it, and sacrifice. Now, what is the sacrifice that a Christian offers? Well, one way of understanding it is thinking about what the sacrifice was in the Old Covenant. In the Old Covenant, it was more about obligation, as I've already talked about. And what the people did, the people of Israel, is they had this tabernacle and then later a temple, and it was all about sacrifices. Now, the sacrifice was a sacrifice of property, because it had to do with the sin issue. And so the property was an animal. It was an animal. Someone's got to pay for the sin because the sin issue hasn't been dealt with. So when you come to the house of God, the place of God in the Old Covenant, tabernacle, later on temple, it's all about bringing a burden. It's all about bringing some property. You're going to give God his due, and you know it's not going to be an exciting thing necessarily. No one comes to the tabernacle or the temple empty-handed. You are going to honor, the lesser must honor the greater. And by the way, there's a grievance, so you got to take care of the grievance that he has with you. It's called your sin. So you bring the animal, and then that is your sacrifice. That's Old Covenant. Now, wonderfully, we don't live in the Old Covenant. We live in the New Covenant. So there's a whole nother season. It's like you come out of winter, you know, what is it? Always winter, never Christmas, and the Chronicles of Narnia. You just do the thing. You do the thing, and it's tedious, but you're operating by what God told you to do. So that's what makes you chosen. But now you come out of that winter covenant, and you come into spring. Isn't spring wonderful, by the way? Every year, it's great. And now we don't bring a sacrifice of property. What do we bring, by the way? You already know, a sacrifice of... We bring the sacrifice of praise. How many of you sang that song? Into the house of the Lord back in the day in the 80s? And so that's the sacrifice that we bring. And so it's very freeing because there's no reason to bring a sacrifice for sin because that's already been covered, right? You know, behold the Lamb of God, new seasons ahead. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So in the new covenant now, we bring a sacrifice of praise, and then E is we enjoy. Now joy is restored. You know, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The righteous part is taken care of by Jesus, the peace and joy. So when I have something that I need a breakthrough, I'm so tired of dealing with this. Lord, if you would just take this one thing, you know, the Apostle Paul, he had this one thing. It was a thorn in the flesh. And what did Jesus do? He redirected him to grace. He redirected him from the thorn and the desire to be delivered to a higher realm. Let's pause for a moment here. Let's rise above it and then sacrifice of praise and enjoy. Now, I had talked about the ladder earlier and Jacob's ladder. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that. Angels of God praising there. We've got to praise there too. We've got to praise him. God's in heavenly realm and in the earthly realm through Jesus. Well, let's consider this ladder for a moment and think about a praise ladder. Let's say that which you need a breakthrough. It is overwhelming. It's chronic. It's taxing me. It's fatiguing me. And I need to break through it. Let's think about a praise ladder. Now, it takes a little work. Recently, I had to adjust a swing on a tree, and rather than try to climb the tree in my own strength, I went and got a ladder. Got it set up, put it up there, moved the swing over a little bit, and of course, Jennifer's telling me to be careful. It takes a little work. Well, this is where we pause. We grab the ladder so that we can rise above it, bring a sacrifice of praise, and enter another realm and enjoy it. How many of you have flown, by the way? You can fly on an overcast day. It's all gray, but there's a point where the plane will transcend that, right? And all of a sudden, oh, this is the way it actually is up there. Now, this is the ladder praise strategy. This is the ladder that we must make a choice to put the ladder up and, you know, just pretend with me. I don't know what it's standing against, but let's just say this ladder stands on its own, okay? Maybe it's like this. And we're going up the ladder. And man, this, it just seems, you know, how many of you work with ladders, by the way, all the time? That could be very exhausting, especially with last week's heat. And you got to be careful, of course, but making a choice to take step by step, I am going to praise myself through this. I'm going to praise God and work through this. Are you following me with this? And eventually, what happens is there's a clearing. There's like this whole realm above because praise focuses on God and it brings you to another realm. It brings you like to another dimension. It's almost like a portal. And you know, it's the throne room of grace, Hebrews chapter 4. Let us come boldly to the throne room of grace that we might find help and mercy in our time of need. We might say, well, the first thing you do when you get there is you got to confess all your sins. Well, confession of sins is important, of course, but once again, might I say that the first fruit, the first thing, our Father who's in heaven, hallowed. When you come to the throne of grace, start to praise God there. Praise God in that place, and then he gives you help. He gives you a breakthrough, if you will. I've had times in my life, I can remember them, like videos that were playing in my mind, and where I was so struggling with things, so discontented, and I hate this season that I'm in, and it's like the Spirit provoked me to do the very thing I'm talking about today. Pause. Rise above it. Sacrifice. And enjoy praising God in my car, praising God through things. There's been times where I've been traumatized, and as a pastor, I've known people who have been traumatized. And one thing that I've had to do and I've seen them do is they give themselves to praise. I remember one brother was just so down and despondent, and I went and visited him, and he's got praise music going on in his house, and he's employing this very strategy. He's allowing the atmosphere of heaven to overrule the darkness that would swallow him up if he let it. It's like Paul and Silas, right? I mean, how many of you have already thought of Paul and Silas? They are in a prison. They've just been beaten, probably publicly beaten and naked at that. And now they're in a prison, still hurting from their wounds. And what do? They pause, they rise above it, they offer a sacrifice of praise, and all of a sudden now they're able to enjoy a great deliverance. They come to a new realm. I recently watched The Hobbit, you know, a three-part movie series. The second movie has this great scene where they're in those woods. You know, there's a darkness on those woods, and they're all confused there, and they got these giant spiders, and then you got wood elves, which aren't good elves, and you know, all this stuff's going on. They're trying to get to their destination. And so Bilbo, and apologies to the purists, I know you're thinking, oh, that wasn't in the book. You know, okay, bear with me there too. But anyway, Bilbo's climbing up, and he's able to get through the trees, and he comes to the fresh air, and he goes, oh. And he sees the destination, and he shouts, hey, we're almost there. It's right over there. And that's almost like, another picture of praise, is that you climb that ladder. You get above that which is oppressing you, and you look to God. There's a psalm that those who look to God, they radiate. You know, radiation is a negative connotation today, but in that sense, it's a positive. You behold the sun. You behold the light of God, and it has a healthy effect on your soul. And so let's quickly see a narrative in the Old Testament, one of my favorite narratives, where the praise strategy is employed to great ends. In 2 Chronicles 20, verses 10 through 12, I won't read the whole narrative. It's well worth reading this chapter a few times, by the way. And now, behold, now this is a great army has come, and the king is now praying to God. The king of Judah is praying. And now, behold, the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came from the land of Egypt, and whom they avoided and did not destroy. You know, these were people that we treated right. Now they're treating us horribly, basically. Verse 11, behold, they reward us by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. And then my favorite line in this narrative, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. You know, coupling this with what we're about to see, we don't know what to do. How often is our first response to do a big old, you know, bit of research and investigation? And we feel that if we can just gain knowledge, that will somehow give us control, give us security, if I just understand a thing and can solve it. And that's often, you know, especially, you know, broad brushing here for men. You know, our wives will describe something, they're struggling, and we immediately go into, like, you know, research mode, and let's, you know, see how we can fix this thing. And, you know, often they're just wanting to be heard. They're kind of wanting this thing called relationship. But, you know, we want to do the quick fix thing. And of course, we live in a day and age, proliferation of knowledge. We're full circle back to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. All you got to do is real quick, access information. Dopamine hit, yeah. Certainty, security, yeah. You know, research. But to come to maybe, you know, pause and say, well, I don't know what to do. But at the very least, I want to place my eyes on you. Now, could not praise be a way of allowing the heart to gaze on God. Because now you're transferring your focus from the temporary oppression and you're going to a greater. You're transcending, okay? Like escape velocity. And you're moving out of the woods, the murk woods, into the rarefied, healthy air of heaven. You're coming to that place. Now your soul can breathe. This is where we focus and we praise God. Praise raises. You know, the last five letters of praise, by the way. I hope you never forget this. Raise. Praise raises us above self and circumstances. It's eyes up. 2 Chronicles 20, 20 through 23 continues the account. And they rose early. You know, they prayed. They basically paused too. Praying is pausing. And then look what they do. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord." So once again now, we're not going to focus on this horde. We're going to believe on the Lord. In our day and age, there's no end of hordes. You might be thinking, you know, one thing to break through. I got like three or four things to break through. And in our times, oppressive times, weighty times before the coming of the Lord, you know, there's like a multiplier effect on struggles and adversity. And so we got this horde. But he says here, "Believe on the Lord your God, and you will be established." You'll stand strong. You'll stand firm. And then believe his prophets. Now for us, that's look to the Lord and listen to the word of God. The prophets of old, holy men of old, wrote these things down. Believe on the Lord, believe his prophets, and you will succeed. Translation for our purposes today, you're going to get a breakthrough. And then what's next? Verse 21. "And when he had taken counsel of the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, 'Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever.'" Now that line right there is repeated no less than 30 times in the Old Testament. That is a common stanza or refrain for praise in the Old Testament. In fact, Psalm 136, if memory serves, it's like, you know, 20 plus times in that psalm. And so, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." Verse 22, "And when they began to sing and praise," you know, this is the tip of the spear. This is our first response to the horde. We're going to send a song group against them. Now, the natural man would say, "You're a bunch of idiots." But from a spiritual vantage point, they're about to have a breakthrough. You know, it's irrational to the natural person to think, "What are you talking about? Just get into the prayer closet and start praising God. Or just get into your car, pause. You know, don't go into full-blown anger mode or depression mode. But instead, get away and begin to praise God." The natural side of us is that's foolishness. And of course, the devil, he'll really mock that. He hates it, by the way. You know, praise is the worst thing possible to him. Verse 22, "They began to sing and praise. The Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. And so they were routed." And this is, speaking of crazy, "For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Mount Seir, then they helped to destroy one another." Almost comical in a very twisted sense. They wiped themselves out. All of God's enemies end up in confusion. All of those who oppose God's people will be destroyed. The very trap they laid, they themselves fall into it. But in particular here, the praise. Praise God. Be aggressive. Be forward. Say, "Hold on a second. I've got to get that praise ladder. I'm going to set that praise ladder up, and I'm going to go, you know, up one at a time until I finally, you know, breach the top of it and get into that place where I let God arise and his enemies be scattered." Psalm 69, 29 through 32, of course, once again, David, "But I am afflicted and in pain. Let your salvation, O God, set me, look at this, set me on high. David often referred to the Lord as a pavilion and a refuge. A pavilion and a refuge was a high place. It was an elevated place. It was a place where you can get a greater perspective. Couldn't quite see what was going on. Adversaries. But now I have a broader view. Now I get the bigger picture. Well, for us, that is going to the throne room of grace and offering praise. Affliction and pain is real. Not going to sit here and deny it and say, oh, no, you know, I'm not in affliction. I'm not in pain. I don't feel any of this. No, it is real, but there's a reality that's greater than that reality, and that's God himself. That's going to pass away, but we go to the one who won't pass away. So look at David again. I'm afflicted. I'm in pain. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs. When the humble see it, they will be glad. You who seek the Lord, let your hearts revive. Do you need a breakthrough? Do you need a revival? Consider this man, even in the old covenant, yet he occupies an interesting space. He's still in the time of the sacrifice of oxes and bulls of property, but he also has this praise thing going, the sacrifice of praise. And what happens? I'm not waiting till it's over. I'm going to the high place now to praise God. And then there's going to be a restoration. There's going to be a renewal. And wonderfully, verse 32, others are going to see it. Others are going to learn this lesson. The humble will see it and will be glad. Those of us who seek God, who offer the sacrifice of praise, our hearts will revive. The praise ladder. Finishing off here, Hebrews 13, 13 through 15. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach that he endured. The reproach of Jesus was that he did not see this world as his home. He saw the world for what it was. It's passing away. Now, it's not a reproach on him personally, but it's something that people viewed as reproachful. After all, when all you have is this world, and all you think about is this life, and the pleasures of this life, and the treasures of this life, you don't have the second dimension in mind. Everything's temporary. Well, Jesus was not here to stay. He's passing through. And we also are pilgrims. We are leaving the human camp. The camp of humanism, the camp of this is all there is and all there ever will be, the basic way people operate. Now, with that in mind, Hebrews 13, 13, therefore, let us go to him outside of the camp, bearing that same reproach. Of course, they look at us strange. Of course, there's mockery for those who don't get it yet. Verse 14, for here we have no lasting city. You know, we get it. There's nothing to permanent here. So we seek, but we seek the city that is to come. And now, how do we do that practically and on a daily basis? It's happening for us as Christians from salvation till we leave this world. Verse 15, through Jesus, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. This is our privilege. This is our practice. This is, as we've seen here, a way to allow the breakthrough to happen. Do you need a breakthrough? Are you overcome with something? Are you fatigued? Are you ashamed? Are you living in fear? Is there constant trepidation? Are you too full of the things of this world? You need a breakthrough of that. So I've been talking about a lot of negative things. Maybe you need a breakthrough of the delusion of the permanence, of thinking that building up something in this life and the vanity of that. And so praising God gets us through this. When we offer that first fruit and we set up that ladder, the breakthrough is imminent. So I want to pray for us today and ask God just to really settle this in our hearts. If it is not like second nature yet, you're still operating in the first nature, but this hasn't become, reflexive, that God can help you with that. Obviously, this word is meant to help us and instruct us in the ways of God. And then to allow this just to be habitual and to experience these breakthroughs. That's what I want to pray for today. And so let's stand and we'll ask God to just bring this home deep into our hearts. Father, I just ask today for, first of all, for any that may not know Jesus as Savior, that they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would now be able to enter the throne room of grace and have that relationship and to have that praise that is welling up in their hearts and for it to be something that helps them in the various difficulties of life, to be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. So I pray you'd save souls today, that they would believe on you. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Today, if you just want the Holy Spirit to settle this in your heart, God, I need a breakthrough, and I'm going to do what I can to set that praise ladder up. I'm going to take some time this afternoon. I'm not going to let this be a word that enters and is quickly forgotten, but I want this deep in my heart. Help me to be a person of praise. Help me to rise above things and to give you your due and to enjoy this great salvation that you've given to me. And so I just want to open up, if you want to come down and pray, we'll pray together, pray to close out. God, I just believe for a breakthrough. If you're just needing a breakthrough too, Lord, I'm believing for that breakthrough, and I'm coming down, and I am going to agree as touching your will that it shall be done. Thank you, Lord. Let's just lift our hands and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord here today. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We acknowledge your goodness. Thank you, Lord God, for provision, for protection, for peace. Thank you for such a great salvation that you've called us to. Praise you, God, for the many good things, for food and clothing, Lord, for relationships, for a church family, for the Bible. Praise you, God, for the Holy Spirit that you've given us. Praise you for so many good things. Praise you, God, for things that you've brought us through in times past. Praise you, God, for what you're going to bring us through in the times to come. You've given us a history of deliverance, but there's mystery that's forward. And so, God, we just praise you with the fruit of our lips even now. And I ask, God, for my brothers and sisters, Lord, we are standing together, and we're just believing for a breakthrough, that we'll crawl up that ladder, that we won't give up, that we won't go backwards, and that we won't stop until we reach that place, that place of praise, and just let heaven break through into our hearts. We pray, God, for a renewal. We pray for restoration and revival. We pray for energy and life, oh God, that there be some pep in our step, Lord, some energy in our souls that's been lacking. And Father, that it would be a daily thing, that we're offering up to you the fruit of our lips. We thank you that the sacrifice of animals is a thing in the past. We don't have to do that. But now, Lord God, as new covenant believers, we can continue to praise you and benefit from doing so. All glory to you for your goodness and your marvelous ways. I just commit my brothers and sisters into your capable hands, O Lord God, until you bring us back together again. We praise you and we love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.